got a cigarette?
Have I got a cigarette? Dean, I've got the cigarette.
You mean Chesterfield?
I mean Chesterfield.
I'm with you.
Which means that Chesterfield, the first cigarette in America to give you premium quality in both regular and king size, brings you the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show.
Best possible smoke for all you folks.
Sound off for Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Try a pack of Chesterfield.
And do it today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring you our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Well, hi, folks. The clocks all over the world have ticked off the hours. 7 days have slipped by, and it's time for another session around the old NBC microphone. The poised baton of our ever-loving maestro is my cue to get things started. And I can do that by telling you my baby just cares for me.
My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for furs and laces. My baby don't care for the high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings or other expensive things. She's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it. My baby just cares for me.
Thank you very much, and now it becomes my pleasure to sort
of... Dean, is it really true? Is it really...
Well, what do you know? It's Jerry Lewis. Well, Jerry, what are you so excited about?
Excited? Hey, is it really true? Is there really going to be an election this year?
Well, that's right, Jerry, and I sincerely hope that you're going to exercise your franchise.
Sure, Dean.
Good heavens, is my franchise so fat?
No, I mean that you know...
If there is one thing I will not tolerate, it's a chubby franchise.
Jerry, exercise your franchise means to vote. Now look, is there any way I can stop your stupidity? You talk like the village idiot.
What's that?
Didn't your hometown ever have a village idiot?
Nah, we took turns.
Look, Jerry, have you ever thought of going to a psychiatrist?
Sure. In fact, just last week, I went to a psychiatrist. He told me that I hated someone way down in my subconscious mind, and he would bring it to my conscious mind, and I'd know who I hated.
Who was it?
Him.
Well, that's awful. Now, well, what else happened?
Nothing. He just lay down on a couch and told me all his troubles.
Jerry, you're supposed to lay down on the couch.
Yeah, I know, but it was too small for both of us.
Now tell me, Jerry, did the psychiatrist do anything specific for you?
Well, he gave me the shock treatment. First he put a wire in one ear, then he put a wire in the other ear.
And then what happened?
I had a head full of telegrams.
Some tells me I'm getting a little sick of Jerry Lewis.
Why don't I become Harvey Goober?
And who is Harvey Goober?
Only the greatest automobile designer the world has ever known.
Okay, Harvey. Ladies and gentlemen, as our first guest this evening, it becomes my pleasure to introduce the world's greatest designer of automobiles. And here is the man whose revolutionary ideas have made the car of tomorrow the car of yesterday. Well, how do you do, Mr. Gilbert?
I'm doing fine, son.
Yes, well, Mr. Goober, I was wondering, how long have you been designing automobiles?
Well, sir, I've been designing cars, man and boy, for 920 years. At first, I was the Goober Speed-O-Wiz, greatest little car in the field.
Greatest car in the field, huh?
Yep, couldn't make it work on the road, but in the field it was great.
Well, I'm sure you have made great improvements since the day of the first Goober. What is your latest car like?
My new car is the end. I call it the Marilyn Monroe.
Well, how come you call it the Marilyn Monroe?
Well, it's got great lines, a magnificent frame, and oh boy, how it shimmies.
Do you have any designs on it?
Now, there's a question. Crazy as something dry, I designed on it.
I was about to ask, Mr. Goober, will there be any radical new ideas in your 1953 automobile?
Yep. Next year's car models are going to have more streamlining, greater horsepower. And I plan on doing away with the glove compartment.
Why no glove compartment?
I lost my glove.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I hated to see them go. You see, my father knotted them.
You mean your father knitted them?
No, my mother knitted them. My father did not. Therefore, my father knotted them.
Oh, I get it. Your mother knits, your father knots, and you're nuts.
That's a hot one, boy. What a Jim Dandy.
All right. Mr. Goober, can you give us your overall opinion as to what the car of tomorrow will be?
Yep. Yes, sir. Reborn. The car tomorrow will be an airplane. Too bad you didn't see my XT-407 before the accident.
Why, what happened to the XT-407?
Strangest thing you ever saw, boy. Yeah. It flew around in ever-decreasing circles and finally disappeared in its own cockpit.
Mr. Goober, truck drivers tell me that excess speed is the major cause of motor accidents today. Now, what do you have to say about this?
Sure.
Sure what?
Sure anything, buddy. I don't argue with truck drivers.
Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields. First such report ever published about any cigarette, and it applies only to Chesterfield.
A responsible consulting organization has reported the results of a continuing study by a competent medical specialist and his staff on the effects of smoking Chesterfield cigarettes. A group of people from various walks of life was organized to smoke only Chesterfields. For 6 months, this group of men and women smoked their normal amount of Chesterfields, 10 to 40 a day. 45% of the group have smoked Chesterfields continually from 1 to 30 years for an average of 10 years each. At the beginning and at the end of the 6 months period, each smoker was given a thorough examination, including X-ray pictures, by the medical specialist and his assistants. The examination covered the sinuses, as well as the nose, ears, and throat. The medical specialist, after a thorough examination of every member of the group, stated,
"It is my opinion that the ears, nose, throat, and accessory organs of all participating subjects examined by me were not adversely affected in the 6 months period by smoking the cigarettes provided."
Remember this report. It's the first such report ever published about any cigarette.
Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields.
Buy Chesterfield either way you like them. Regular or king size. Chesterfield gives you the best possible smoke. Much milder Chesterfield.
Every once in a while, a lovely song comes up that is perfect blending between music and lyrics. When this happens, songwriters and publishers alike proclaim it a natural, which is equivalent to calling it a hit. My vote for the natural of the year is the song I'm going to sing now. It's called Second Chance. If I only had a second chance, I'd love you. If you'd only take a second chance with your heart. Darling, this time I swear, at least a lifetime would share. No one could tear our love apart. If I only had a second chance, how I'd hold you. Just as surely as a loving you clings to me, I would show what devotion can be. Darling, just give me a second chance and you'll see. Just give me a second chance, and you'll see.
Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is one of Hollywood's most talented, versatile, and beautiful leading ladies. Everyone loves her, and we're certainly no exception. So let's say hello to that very wonderful gal, Jane Wineman.
Much, folks, and hello, Dean.
Well, Jane, it's a real pleasure having you with us tonight.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Dean, but is somebody missing? Say, tell me, where's your partner, Jerky?
You mean Jerry?
Sure, I mean Jerry. Where is Jerky?
I guess you know him, all right. Then I don't have to warn you, huh?
Warn me about what?
Well, whenever a beautiful woman comes on our show, Jerry behaves like a complete idiot. He mistakes them for a guy named Herman. Or he thinks it's really me with my hair dyed blonde. He always heckles our female guests that way.
Well, gee, thanks for warning me, Dean. I'll
hey, Dean! Guess what just happened?
Good heavens. I can't remember when I've observed a more charming young lady. Madam, I trust you will not object when I tell you I am smitten.
Why, not at all.
Good. Then consider me smote.
I don't understand this, Jerry. Why aren't you telling Jane she's your Uncle Herman? Or how come you're not asking me when I had my legs remodeled?
Are you mad? For heaven's sakes, Dean Martin, do you want me to insult this gorgeous creature by pretending that I don't know who she is? Of all the unmitigated gall, me not know the identity of this delicate flower of femininity?
Well, at this point, I don't recognize myself. Who am I, Jerry?
You're that lady wrestler.
A lady wrestler?
Sure, Jiu-Jitsu Jane, the female octopus. Okay, baby, let's see your cauliflower ears.
I don't have cauliflower ears.
What's the matter, you planted broccoli?
Oh, Jerry, stop the nonsense. This is no lady wrestler named Jujitsu Jane.
It's still touch and go. Willie was talking to the man, Sam Bump.
I'm very sorry, Jane. I don't know what to do with this boy.
All right, I'm sorry. I was only fooling. I know that you're Jane Wyman. I knew it all the time.
You know, Jerry, when I hear you talk seriously, I realize that there are really two sides to Jerry Lewis.
Really, Miss Wyman? Gosh, what are they?
Well, first there's the foolish, babbling, feeble-minded idiot.
Yeah.
And then there's the shrewd, clever, level-headed idiot.
Gee, it's a shame you had to say that. I wanted to talk to you. I had such important questions to ask you, too.
Oh, gosh, Jerry, if you really want to be serious, I'm very sorry I spoiled your mood. Go ahead and ask your questions.
Well, you see, since you're a big movie star and all, I bet you know all those other movie stars, don't you?
Well, I know some of them.
Well, is it true that Gregory Peck is really a bushel?
Well, I...
Oh, what's the use, Jane? Jane, it's no use. We'll never get anywhere with this cat.
Dean, why don't you do something to stop him?
An excellent notion. I'll turn things over to George Pennant and...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
For those of you who were unfortunate enough to miss that great drama of the war between the states gone with the wind, our stars have prepared their own version of this great story. We take you now to the land of moonbeams and magnolias as Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Jane Wyman present their streamlined version of Gone with the Wind, entitled... Somewhere between the fighting men of General Grant and General Lee, a man is seen wandering aimlessly. He is lost, and he has strayed 90 miles from his regiment. For days and days, he wanders round and round and round and round and round.
Stop already, I'm getting nauseous.
Suddenly, he stumbles on a huge mansion.
Made a boo-boo.
A beautiful girl comes to the door. The poor, wounded soldier looks up at this vision of loveliness, and with heartfelt respect for this fair flower of womanhood, he whispers to her softly and gently.
Hiya, baby, what's your name?
Well, my name's Cindy Lou Melissa Ann Dixie Lee Betty Jane Scarlet O'Hara Glick. And I'm a genuine Southern belle.
Yeah, prove it.
Ding dong. You all. Say, what you all doing here anyway?
What am I doing here? Look at me. I'm shot through the head. I got 3 bullet holes in my leg, and there's a bayonet sticking out of my back, and you want to know what I'm doing here?
Well, what are you doing here?
Bleeding.
Now, you all come in the house. I'll tend to your wounds, even if I am a Southern girl. And you're wearing a union suit.
Gosh, but you're nice, Miss Glick.
Oh, you don't have to call me Miss Glick.
I don't?
You can call me Cindy Lou Melissa Ann Dixie Lee Betty Jane Scarlet O'Hara. What you think of that?
I'll stick with Glick.
Now, that must be Beauregard, my fiance. Now, quick, get into that Confederate jacket. Come in.
Well, hi, all, Cindy Lou, Melissa, and... I better stick with Glick here.
Why, Beauregard, you're home. The war must be over.
You got the wrong boy. I'm home because the war's starting.
Why, shame on you. Do you want people to start talking about that no-regard Beauregard?
Now, listen here, honey. Who's that over there?
Well, I don't see nobody.
Over there in a pool of blood.
Oh, you mean that Southern boy?
Well, I'll be a boll weevil if it ain't Beauregard.
Well, what you doing, chap?
I'm just sitting in the corner chewing my chitlin.
What's your name, soldier?
Robert E. Lee.
That's probably Lee. How did you get a name like that?
Dad wanted a steamboat.
Oh.
Now, don't you pick on that boy. He's a Confederate soldier just like you.
Then how come his jacket and pants, they don't match?
Well, can he help it if his supply sergeant came from Hollywood?
Well, I don't believe he's a southerner.
Ma'am, just dish me up some of that chew fly pie and matzo ball dowdy.
Now, you see, Beauregard, I told you, he's just as southern as we are.
Southerner.
Well, I ain't satisfied yet. What outfit were you in?
I was in the infantry.
Infantry, huh? Sit down and tell me all about it.
I can't. I was in the cavalry, too. Man, you got no call to question me. Well, every member of my family's in the Confederate Army. My father, my mother, my four brothers, both sisters, and all my cousins, and... Good heavens.
What's the matter?
Who's watching the store?
Cindy Lou, I'm shooting this Yankee for a spy. What kind of gun do you want to be shot with, Yank?
A machine gun.
But machine guns won't be invented for another 50 years.
Good, I'll wait.
Oh, please, Beauregard, give him a chance. Don't shoot him.
Yankee, you're mighty lucky. I'll give you just 5 seconds. If you're not out of here in 5 seconds, I'll shoot to kill.
Okay, I'm going.
Wait. Now, wait. Aren't you even going to say goodbye to me?
Oh, sure. Goodbye, Cindy Lou, Dixie Lee, Betty Jean. He got me. And it's all my fault.
But why? Why was it your fault?
I forgot to stick with Glick.
The United States Tobacco Journal, the leading tobacco trade journal, gets reports from dealers and distributors all over the country. Here are some reports on Chesterfield cigarettes. Boston, Massachusetts.
Chesterfield, in the new king size, is maintaining large turnovers in this area. Dealers report that sales continue to climb, and volume on the regular size has climbed to new heights with its new big brother.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The long Chesterfield took top place this week as the main sales item in tobacco departments.
Yes, from all over the country, we're getting reports just like these, showing that thousands of smokers are changing to Chesterfield. First cigarette to give you premium quality in both regular and king size.
King size cigarettes give you quantity, but only Chesterfield king size gives you quantity plus quality, premium quality. Chesterfield King Size contains tobaccos of better quality and higher price than any other King Size cigarette.
Of course, it's the same fine tobacco as in regular Chesterfield. In fact, the only difference between Chesterfield King Size and Chesterfield Regular is that the King Size is larger, contains more of these same tobaccos, enough to give you a 21% longer smoke, yet costs very little more.
So remember, Chesterfield is the first to give you premium quality in both regular and king size.
Buy them either way you like them. Chesterfield gives you the best possible smoke. Much milder Chesterfield.
Every once in a while, a long-forgotten song slips back into your memory and kind of lingers there until you remember every last word of the lyric. Words that you never even thought you knew. I've had this happen to me many times before, but I've never been more pleased at the sudden recollection of a song than I was the other day. So right now, I'd like to check my memory and sing it to you.
It was a lucky April shower. It was the most convenient door. I found $1 million, baby, in a 5 and 10 cent store. The rain continued for an hour. I hung around for three or four. Around $1 million, baby, in a 5-10 cent store. She was selling china, and when she made those eyes, I kept buying china until the crowd got wild. Incidentally, if you should run into a shower, just step inside my cottage door and meet $1 million, baby, from the 5-10 cent store. She was selling china, and when she made those eyes, I kept buying china until the crowd got wild. Incidentally, if you should run into a shower, just step inside my cottage door and meet $1 million, baby, from the 5-10 cent store.
Dean, that was sure beautiful, the way you sang $1,000 Baby.
Jerry, it's $1 million Baby.
Yeah, wait till you pay the tax.
Well, $1,000 or $1 million, I loved it, Dean. And I sure wish we had time for a duet.
Well, Janie girl, maybe we could kick around a shorty, you know.
Wait a minute. I don't like you two should sing a duet while I stand around and don't partake.
All righty. Let's try a little row, row, row your boat, huh? And see where it takes us. Here I go.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 oh, life is but a dream.
What you doing?
Was I going too fast for you?
Well, thank you, Dean and Jerry. I've enjoyed every mad minute of it. Good night, everybody. And good night,
night
fellas.
Janie.
Good night. Good night.
Before we sign off, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to throw a great big fat bouquet in the direction of our good friend Jimmy Walker, a great disc jockey on station KGU in Honolulu, for the wonderful spins he's given Dean's and my records. Thank you, Jimmy.
Well, we'll be back next week, and meanwhile, we hope you'll sound off to your dealer for Chesterfield.
You'll be doing yourself and us a big favor when you step up and ask for regular or king-size Chesterfields. Either way you like them, Chesterfield gives you the best possible smoke.
Well, until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis reminding you that our latest picture, Jumping Jacks, is now playing at your local theaters. We hope you'll go see it. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
From Hollywood, you've just heard transcribed The Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Mack, with music prepared and conducted by Dick Stabile. This is George Benham inviting all of you to join us next week at the same time when all of us, again, sound off for Chesterfield.
Jane Wyman's and currently be seen, starring in the Warner Brothers production, The Story of Will Rogers.